I'm Scott Hansen with NFL Red Zone, and you are listening to the Gridiron Gentlemen.
Hello, and welcome back to the Gridiron Gentlemen NFL podcast. I had to remember what the podcast was called. We had 1 week off, James. 1 week. That's all it took.
1 week.
As far as I'm concerned, we're in the 2023 season now. We're there. It's happening. I know officially
it is. Is this season 10 of the Gridiron Gents? Is it season 10?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Where the writers have written themselves into a place that they can't possibly get themselves out of and have to start making stuff up like it was all a dream.
Mm. I would rather not jump a literal shark, but we'll see what happens.
I know, but that was Series 5 of Happy Days. They limped on for another 4 years.
Yeah. Well, some could say the same about us, to be fair. But so we're back. We are going to be talking team needs, not just team needs, just a general like overview of the team, where they're at, like salary cap wise, what they need, and then also how they could potentially improve it. But very quickly, I promised we'd be more organized this year, but we'll go on for as long as would be considered normal. We're not going to do 3 hour pods anymore. When we get to like an hour and 10, we'll call it a day, and then we'll carry on next week, basically. So we'll probably get through two teams, knowing us.
Yeah.
As we're recording, teams and players are already in Indianapolis for the scouting combine, James. You excited about that?
Yes and no. Yeah, so I think the most anticipated, excited anybody's really going to be, I think, on Saturday when Bryce Young comes onto the screen. See, was like 195 pounds or 205. I mean, he's 10 and a half, but you know, more concerned about actual brain. Unfortunately, he also walked into the combine. He was stood side by side talking to tight end Luke Schoonmaker, who is 6'6" and a half. It was not a great look because it did demonstrate what it looks like when a person who's 5'10 stands next to someone who's 6'6".
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's sort of pointing out that Bryce Young's only 5'10". Well, of course, we know he's only 5'10". Water is wet.
I don't know. It feels like if you were to take every short NFL quarterback of the last, say, 10 years, anyone under 6 foot, let's say, yeah?
Yeah.
And then do a percentage of, like, a hit ratio of the quarterbacks under 6 foot compared to the quarterbacks that are over 6 foot, I don't think it'll be that different.
I think actually the hit rate on quarterbacks under 6 foot under 6'1" in the first round in the last 10 years is actually pretty high. Did they start? Yeah.
Because they're generally very good, because they've still been considered to be top quarterbacks despite being short.
Yeah, and I think what it is it's the fact that Bryce Young, it's not even that it's his height. What people are kind of saying is it's his height and his frame. So it's like Kyler Murray is sort of in that same sort of ballpark, but Kyler Murray is like 205, 210.
Mm.
So he's quite thick. You know, Russell Wilson, five foot whatever, is big. You know, Baker at 6'1", big. But Bryce Young is shorter and slim, quite a slender frame, you know?
I'm not saying quarterbacks don't take hits anymore. Because they absolutely do. But it's not the same as it was even 5 years ago.
Yeah. And we have a quarterback who, I mean, more on this in detail later in the draft season, but who is particularly good at not getting hit.
Yeah.
And evading pressure. He's particularly good at it. It's one of the main things about him that impresses me so much about him. So, I don't know. He's an outlier, but I don't know. I think if you just look and ask yourself, can the guy play quarterback at a high level? And you tick lots of boxes. The only one you can't tick is the BMI. we kind of get down to the Devontae Smith argument.
Devontae Smith, who proved to be one of the toughest receivers in the league last year. So,
yeah, how many games has Devontae Smith missed through injury playing at 160?
How many times did we see him go up and admittedly drop the ball, but win the contest against cornerbacks that are bigger than him?
Exactly. And are you seriously telling me that he plays at 170? No way. If you look at him in the Super Bowl, how lean and thin he is, he's got to be playing at 160.
Yeah.
And so what's going to happen is that Bryce Young will not be competing any drills. He will turn up, do the interviews, and do the measurements.
Yeah.
And he'll get weighed, and he'll weigh at 205 because he's been doing everything possible to put on weight and size. But he won't do any athletic testing because his athletic testing won't be as good at 205.
The other side of it is you naturally put on bulk as you get older anyway.
Well, yeah. And then obviously it's pro day. I'm assuming he won't get measured or weighed, but he'll work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. And then you'll have one set of numbers that says, oh, look, he must be 200 pounds. And then the pro day says, oh, he really is for that dude. So yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously in the intervening period, there's absolutely no way to cut his weight. No way. No way. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
No, he's absolutely not been just loading up on burgers and water for the last 2 days.
Peanut butter sandwiches and a gallon of milk a day.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you know. So, yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, and then you've got like some wide receivers who've like put on 13 pounds. Like there's a photo of Zay Flowers who's gone from 170 to 183. And he's done the topless photo of himself at 170 and 183. And it's like, okay, actually, you've done it in an entirely different way. You appear to be absolutely jacked.
Yeah.
But tiny. anyway, but yeah, it's like the combine, it's all smoke and mirrors at the moment. But yeah, everything that's going to happen in free agency is being discussed this week, like right now.
Absolutely. Our teams will know who's moving where, at least in the first week of free agency, probably by the end of this week. So,
pretty much. Absolutely.
But it's important to remember that the legal tampering period doesn't start for another 12 days.
No, so absolutely nothing could possibly be happening at least.
They're just there, hanging out, not talking about football whilst watching football players train.
Yeah. Yeah. Whose draft position is dictated mostly by what they do in free agency.
Yes. 100%. That's exactly what's happening, James. Yeah. I'm actually a little offended that you think anything else would be going on.
I guess I'm just a cynical Sydney.
Yeah.
Very quickly, the other thing I just want to touch on, the NFLPA conducted a survey of 1,300 NFL players, ranking and asking players to rank and rate their team's facilities. And the report cards were published today with some very interesting findings, and it ranked teams on certain criteria. And you can go onto the NFLPA website and see the report cards for the individual teams and where they rank. Would you like to guess the top-ranked team in the NFL for facilities and sort of general player support facilities and facilities in general, everything from training staff to family welfare and et cetera, et cetera? Would you like to guess the best team in the NFL?
I haven't looked at any of this. I would guess it's something like the Raiders.
It's not. The Raiders are third, actually.
Yeah, I thought they'd be up there.
The top three teams in order are, number one, the Minnesota Vikings.
Interesting.
Then it's the Raiders, and then it's the Raiders.
So the Dolphins is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because they haven't gotten like new facilities or anything. They've been in that same stadium for forever. The Vikings are kind of
very highly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they rank highly on almost everything.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess the teams at the very bottom of the list? It's quite easy.
Okay. So the
it's really easy.
Patriots?
Think about the most trash organization in the NFL. With the most trash owner.
The most trash. Are the Colts down there?
No, not the Colts. No, close. Okay. You're getting there. Think about the one owner in all of football that all other 31 owners would form a Voltron to defeat.
So the Dallas Cowboys.
No.
No. Okay. The Washington Commanders. Washington Commanders. Yeah, sorry.
The Washington
yeah.
Commanders are ranked dead last. And they are.
I mean, bottom, who wants to be in that
like
facility?
6 or 7 in. So the criteria they measure are just to sort of go back the curtain a bit, what sort of precise stuff it actually is, let me just get to the stuff. I should have this up in front of me, really, well, just so the categories that players were asked to grade and rank on a sliding scale from A plus to F minus. So they were asked to grade treatment of families, food service and nutrition, weight room, strength coaches, training room, training staff, locker room standards, and team travel. So training staff, the worst team training staff in the NFL was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Interesting. I would never have guessed that.
Joint first with a couple of other teams was the Philadelphia Eagles.
I could believe that, yeah.
The Commanders were tied for dead last in their treatment of families. One team that was not specifically named in the opening blurb of the actual report itself is claimed to have had family treatment facilities so bad that a nursing mother who was a wife of one of the players was forced to suckle her child on a bathroom floor.
Oh my God.
Because they didn't provide a family room. And one team, when surveyed, it was the Patriots actually had one of the worst grades for team travel, in spite of the fact that they have their own plane.
My God.
So it's very interesting reading if you want to see how fantastic or terrible your team is at certain things. Just go to the NFLPA website and look up NFL player team report cards.
Interesting.
Or if you're on our Discord, I've provided the link in our general chat.
Nice. Excellent. There is the Jalen Carter stuff going on that we really want to talk about, if I'm honest with you. It seems a bit... I don't think there's much to talk about at the moment until we know more about more information.
No.
So I'm quite happy to leave that
it's
one.
It's all quite murky at the moment. Nothing's confirmed. Nothing's been denied. And we don't know exactly where we stand for it, but it is certainly going to be the sort of news that's going to cause draft boards to, if not to change, to definitely kind of be a little bit up in the air.
I agree. Right. Let's start where we always start, shall we? AFC East. We're going to take a look at the Buffalo Bills to kick things off. $16 million over the cap, salary cap at the moment. A load of teams over the salary cap, it feels like, coming into this year. It definitely feels like last year was the year they thought they were going to go ahead and win something. Like, you look at the way the roster's been built, it feels like it's built in a way that says we were meant to win it last year, and it didn't happen. So where they skimped last year was the offensive line, which was an okay offensive line.
Yeah.
And it was okay if for Josh Allen has a natural gift with his feet, can create space. He's built like a truck. He's hard to bring down. So you can probably make do with a reasonable, fair to middling offensive line. At some point, do we have to start looking at the offensive line and go, hey, maybe if you had a better offensive line, your run game might be a bit better? Whatever, there seems to just be a blind spot in scouting for running backs for the Buffalo Bills. I thought Devin Singletary was going to be quite good. James Cook might still come quite good, but at the same time, that is definitely an area of need, I think.
They did have an air of desperation about them at one point, because what they'd done was they had drafted James Cook, a move I liked, actually.
Yeah, I did thought, as well.
Well, actually, do you know what? That's something that running back room is missing. But then later in the season, they then went and got Nyheim Hines, which is almost like saying, uh-oh, this draft pick didn't work.
He went straight into being a special team. Pretty much.
Yeah, and just... For me, what it is that the offense itself was quite what became one dimensional, and the defense became one dimensional, because what the Bills weren't able to do was they weren't able to be dominant in the trenches.
Yeah,
And it's great having Josh Allen and all that. And he is the size of a house and he is made entirely of concrete. But also, he played a lot of the year injured with a damaged UCL joint in his elbow, which, you know, for quarterback's not great. And you don't need that.
No.
You don't need your quarterback having to play hurt. The teams that win Super Bowls are the teams that find other ways to win. And the Bills towards the end of the season felt like a team that had only one or two ways to win games.
Yeah.
So for me, their needs are the two biggest needs that are most glaringly obvious for them is they need to shore up the offensive line in a way that offers adequate pass pro,
yep.
but also upgrades them as a run blocking team.
Yeah. 100%. I'm not too worried about their defense. Obviously they had just ridiculously bad luck in terms of injuries in the secondary.
Yes.
More so than the obvious, but like it was just a case of they were down a ton of players, obviously not just DeMar Hamlin, but Jordan Poyer, I think, is on his way out this year. I might be wrong on that. I suppose the free agents. So, let's look. Whoa, they've got a ton of players. Yeah.
It's a huge misstep if he hits the open market, because there are teams that will be waiting.
Absolutely.
For him.
So here's
his key player.
They've got a ton of players hitting free agency this year as well. Jordan Poyer, Roger Saffold, Case Keenum, Tremaine Edmonds, Quisenberry, Bobby Hart, okay, Shaq Lawson, Cole Beasley, fine. Devin Singletary. They have a total of 6 draft picks. So I'm not too worried about running back. If Devin Singletary hits the open market, then so be it. You promote James Cook and then hope that the next guy up is going to be better, basically. Roger Saffold and pretty much all of their backup offensive line is a concern. It makes you wonder whether they need to like seriously invest in just upgrading the offensive line. We kind of turned our nose up when the Chiefs did it a couple of years ago. Just to say that worked out pretty well for them. But the problem they've got sorry, go on.
Yeah, but the strategy that the Chiefs employed, they kind of hit it out of the park at center and guard almost immediately.
Yeah.
And how likely are you to do that?
Not at all. Well, so for starters, Nyheim Hines, cutting Nyheim Hines can save him $4.7 million in cap space. Teron Johnson, $4.2 million. Mitch Morse, $5.3 million. And if you come in with the attitude that you're going to massively renovate the offensive line, then it's not the end of the world that there's some players you can lose, but you are just rolling into the season with a very different looking offensive line this season, most likely, which might take a while to get used to, basically.
Well, there's opportunities for them in free agency. I mean, you've got guys like Orlando Brown, who's potentially hitting free agency, although I don't think that's going to happen.
And also expensive as well, if he does.
Yeah. Well, there's Taylor Lewan, who's going to be available. I assume he's actually going to be quite good value for a team. He gives you a baseline level. George Fant's potentially going to be a free agent for the Jets as well. Who else? Those are the sort of like the key ones that you're looking at. And then once you get down that there's not a lot after that. With the draft, you've got a class that's, there's no Rashawn Slater.
No.
But like you've got tackle, you've got 3 or 4 that are guys you could see starting.
Yeah.
But there's no one I kind of bet the farm on. So I think you need to make a move for that blue chip free agent if you want to be sure. but also, you know, this is the year to kind of build with value, sort of your backups.
Yeah, which is where they're losing a ton of players. But if I look at this offensive line, I'm like, Deion Dawkins. Do you keep Deion Dawkins? Is Deion Dawkins actually good enough at left tackle? Probably, to be fair. Roger Saffold hitting free agency, most likely. Mitch Morse, yeah. You could save some money if you get rid of him. Ryan Bates, Spencer Brown. Like, you could...
I think...
Yeah.
Hmm.
You could just completely renovate this offensive line, and I think it needs it.
I think the thing is, though, that you're probably going to want to do it in stages. And I
yeah.
think players like Saffold and Mitch Morse are kind of like bedrocks that give your offensive line a floor.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they'd want to build around that core, that core group. But that is their key need. They do need to build the offensive line going forward. I think there's also some work to be done in terms of building depth at edge rusher because, you know, Von Miller is getting up there in years.
Mm. He's earning and a ton of money this year as well.
Him.
So yeah. Von Miller's on $14.6 million this year, like guaranteed salary. His cap number's 18.6, and you can't really get rid of him either. He's kind of there to stay.
I think the dead money's like $40 million if he's cut before June 1st, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, but essentially the way they started the season with him, oh God. Name escapes me.
Rousseau?
Yeah, Greg Rousseau. Sorry, yeah. Hmm. With him and Greg Rousseau, the way they started the season, that was a great little double act for them. And I think, you know, but what they do need to do is start building in the draft, building some depth at edge and D-line. And this is a pretty good year to do it, actually, because while there's not really that many top-end edge prospects who are kind of like, you can bet the farm on,
yeah.
There's some players who are like, high upside or, you know, interesting that you can draft and down the road could be really, really good. There's a lot of high floor guys who need work.
I wonder if you don't just completely rebuild the offensive, not the offensive line, the wide receivers as well. Like,
you do need to have a Stephon Diggs contingency and a Gabriel Davis cover plan.
Yeah. So Isaiah McKenzie was decent, but like, I wonder whether you can go cheaper, like in the draft, and get someone half decent, or whether you can find someone that can do exactly what you get Isaiah McKenzie to do.
And start the building through they that. Need to the problem is that Stephon Diggs is in his 30s now.
Yeah.
And you need to build to replace that.
I don't think we saw an incredible Gabriel Davis this year as well. This was meant to be the year he took. He just moved ahead, and it just never happened.
He had a few games, but it was kind of very much not the thing. Gabriel Davis is a wide receiver three.
Mm. Yeah.
Not a wide receiver three.
So I think, you know, especially on this team, like I do wonder whether, like, this team needs to take a step back and maybe make some unpopular decisions if they plan on still being a very talented team going into next year. And I think a lot of it revolves around the offensive line. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Retooling, not rebuilding, retooling.
Yeah. Offensive line, I think, is the main priority.
Yeah. And depth at receiver and then
edge.
But this is the year to build depth. This is the year to build depth. The draft class is not top heavy, but there is about 130 players who are all eminently draftable across the first couple of days.
Buffalo,
starters, so.
Use your first and second round picks and then just keep moving back with your third round pick. See what you can do, see what you can build up. So you move into the fourth and fifth and potentially move up. So you've got fourth and fifth round picks. So that's, I think, where you build up capital and see if you can trade a couple of players as well. Other than that, I don't think you should be too afraid to kick the can down the curb a bit. Maybe start like extending contracts for a number of players as well, like giving some more guaranteed money, just splitting it up over like 5-6 years. I think they're going to have to do that anyway just to get under the cap, but maybe do it with a few players that you don't mind paying into like 2027, 2028, basically. So, yeah, that would be my suggestion. Buffalo need to do some work to stay relevant. This isn't like last year, where we were talking about Buffalo being one of the most talented teams in the league. They need to do some work, and they need to surround Josh Allen, because you cannot rely on Josh Allen to win every single game in the playoffs, because he will have brain fart moments.
Yes, and also because there is another team in that division that is becoming relevant very quickly.
Absolutely, and they're the next team we're going to talk about, the Miami Dolphins. I'm assuming that's
we are going alphabetical. Fantastic. Yeah. No, we're going up. I assume we're going up.
Well done, James. Dolphins. Bravo. Okay, so Miami Dolphins, they are over the cap at the moment, but they come in a relatively good position. Mike McDaniels came in, provided a ton of confidence for this team. The questions over Tua are different questions. It's generally about his actual health now, rather than whether we think he's a decent quarterback, because I think we all now believe he is very much a decent quarterback. And they've brought in Vic Fangio on defense, which I think should shore things up a bit. This Miami Dolphins team is exciting for the first time in a couple of years. Last year, they really proved a point, I thought. Where do we think they need to improve?
It's a similar conversation to the one we had with Buffalo. I think that as good as the McDaniels offense was, I think it still needs for the offensive line to be significantly improved. Because I think the end game that Mike McDaniels wants is he wants to be approaching that level of multiplicity and diversity that his old boss Carl's got. And he can't start to do that until that offensive line is significantly improved. They've got Teron Armstead, but Teron Armstead is, in offensive line years, 110. And there's not a lot else on that line, really. So they need to sort of start looking at tooling, at retooling that and building that bit for the future in the same way that the Niners did when they drafted McGlinchey, and there was Trent Williams as well, and that's worked out quite well for them. So I think that's going to be key to that offense. With the defense, I think it's about getting Fangio the players he needs. He's going to need certain player archetypes they're going to have to try and get hold of. He's going to need box players who are able to handle gap and a half and two gap assignments. He's going to need players that can rally and tackle and hold up in the run game in seven man boxes. And he's going to need players who can be dynamic and tackle on the perimeter in the secondary as well. So you've got to tool for that. You've got to build for that. And I think that first year iteration of it is going to be quite similar to what we see with most Vic Fangio defenses in that first year, where it's kind of just waiting for it to come along.
You got Bradley Chubb on the roster already, which I think is good for Vic Fangio.
Yes, it's great.
From what I understand, Khalil Mack's hitting free agency this year. Like, you'll have an aging, potentially, like outside linebacking pair. But like, Khalil Mack is one of those guys that is not just an edge rusher. He's also very good in the run game as well. So he can fill a lot of gaps.
It's literally what he was drafted based on entirely, how good he was as a run defender anyway. So that's his heritage, really.
Yeah.
His bread and butter.
Absolutely. Jerome Baker, I think you can let go because you can make a ton of money from Jerome Baker. Secondary, I think you've got to have some very maybe unpopular conversations. Xavien Howard didn't look anywhere near as good as he has done previously last year. Javon Holland is probably the best player on that defense. And as a result, I think you've got to, the depth just doesn't feel like it's necessarily there for the Dolphins. It's interesting.
I think the thing that they most urgently need to address, though, in order to give Fangio what he wants, is they're going to need something in the interior of that defensive line that gives it substance.
Yeah.
So in the successful iterations of Brandon Staley's incarnation with the Rams and, you know, what Fangio was able to do with the Bears, you tend to have, even though they had Aaron Donald, they were still keen to put a second player in the interior that would shore up against the run and enable them to do what they need to do and to manage the run game with seven in the box, which is sometimes what you have to do if you do the Fangio thing, because you're running that sort of a lot of that quarters stuff, that cover six and quarters look, and you go with like boxes. You need players who are diverse and can literally sometimes do gap and a half, two gaps.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really key for them. And this year's group of DTs is quite interesting, actually. It's not a bad little group, even when you get past the top.
Dolphins, of course, don't have a first-round pick because of the tampering. They do have six picks, three in the top three. So I think they can
pick
up some.
If they were by the coast, they would be the proper Tampa Bay in Florida.
I think they still have an opportunity to improve the defense or improve the offensive line. you cracked yourself up there, didn't you?
I found it funnier than anybody else on the planet did. It's fine.
Interior linebacker, I think, is something they need to look at, but it's not like a concern. You could probably pick up a decent interior linebacker in the mid-draft. Or pick someone up on the cheap in free agency. I mean, let's see if Tremaine Edmonds hits free agency for starters. So, but yeah.
Yep. They're players like that. I mean, you just need those guys in the box to be good players. They need to be really good players.
He's never going to get a Fred Warner, let me put it that way. So, you know.
But again, it's about you know, making the Victoria sponge and making sure that the sponge itself is there. Because actually what they've got is they've already got a top quality, you know, brand of icing. I mean, they've got two wide receivers that terrify you. A tight end who is starting to figure it out in Mike Gesicki. And, you know, if he's healthy, Tua is perfectly capable of driving the car.
Problem with Gesicki is he's a free agent this year as well.
Well, you know, it's about that sort of value thing. Or do you think about maybe seeing what you can get in the draft? I mean, tight end this year is quite good, although I have a horrible feeling that all the good ones will be gone very quickly.
I do. There'll as well. Run on them, I think yeah, like, yeah, I was about to say back early second. It's I'm just wondering where the money is for the Dolphins that they're going to need to free up, because they do need to free up some space and they do need to pick up some players. So maybe once again, kicking the can down the curve a bit. Byron Jones set to make a cap number of $18 million this year, which feels a little bit ridiculous. Emmanuel Ogba, $17 million cap number. So, like, see if you can rearrange that contract. You got to kind of got to keep him on the roster. Then we're going to run out of decent offensive linemen if we keep trying to do the things that I want to do. But like someone like Alec Ingold set to make $3 million, you can get under the cap there. Keon Crossan, $3 million. Brandon Jones, $2.7 million. And you can probably get yourself under the cap by mixture of that and also rearranging some of the contracts out there as well. I think there's a lot of players.
So you mentioned Byron Jones. Yeah. That's if Byron Jones plays.
Okay.
Because of his revelations earlier in the week.
I've missed this entirely as well.
Has left him so badly injured that at the moment he's unable to run or jump.
Yeesh. Okay, then, yeah, potentially Byron Jones.
Speaking out about, you know, the way that NFL players are asked to take injections and shots to treat injuries at the long-term detriment of their health. So, he sounds like a guy who is very much mulling, walking away.
I do wonder that about Tua as well. I mean, what, did he have three concussions last year?
I kind of wonder if you see that and that doesn't maybe also kind of tip the scales for you and make you think, do I want that shot? Do I want that injection?
Yeah.
You know, what happens when this is over? I'll be 30.
Noah Igbinoghene was a reasonably good player for them last year as well. So that's interesting situation for the Miami Dolphins. I think they're going to be better this year, but I think they need to make the right moves. Once again, offensive line is an issue and they need their quarterback to play really. But as you say, they've got one of the best 1-2 punches at wide receiver in the league. And with Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, even players like Myles Gaskin, they can really get something done as well on the ground. I would imagine Trent Sherfield is a player they want to keep just because he's a dynamic wide receiver that you can use in a number of different ways. So, yeah. I wonder if he leapfrogs Mike Gesicki in being being useful. Adam Shaheen can probably go. It's fine. But, yeah.
I mean, you know, Adam Shaheen, it's kind of, they're two very different tight ends.
Yeah. Yes.
In terms of career trajectory, yes.
But as long as Tua plays, then quarterback won't be a problem. I don't think it's a problem for the next team either. I think if you're the New England Patriots, you kind of got to go all in on Mac Jones. You've got Bill O'Brien there now, who has actually been an offensive coordinator. So it's a step up from the last two people they had in.
Talking of Mac Jones. Yeah. Sorry, very quickly talking of Mac Jones, just because it's kind of funny. Mm. So apparently, Mac Jones last year, obviously there was the outburst on the sidelines about the quick game and all of that. And he obviously has had clashes with coaches on the sidelines. I mean, we've never seen that in New England before, have we? But apparently he can dish it out, but apparently there are reports that he can't really take it and that coaches have been advised not to be too hard on him because of how personally he takes criticism.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Which is interesting to sort of to read, sort of, and almost the connotation being he can dish it out, but can he really take it? But at the same time, you know, I think the point you make about him as a quarterback, I think I don't see any reason why you should be in a rush to replace him.
I think you're right with him this year.
Not just yet.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
And if halfway through the season, your season's over, then try Bailey Zappi for half a year as well and see what happens there. Like it, and then you pick up a new quarterback next year. But I think the fact that Mac Jones was able to move the ball with a pair, with the biggest mistake that a team made, offensive coordinator most likely, last year.
Yeah. This will be his third coordinator in three seasons.
Yeah, and this one's an actual, as I say, this one's an actual offensive coordinator. That's good. And then you look at...
Not like, some white, yes, kid.
Yeah. You look at even who they've got on at receiver as well. Like, yeah. Jacoby Myers set to become a free agent, leaving Devontae Parker, Tyquan Thornton, Kendrick Bourne.
Do you know what? Hmm. If Jacoby Myers becomes a free agent, I'm willing to bet that Brandon Bean scoops him up.
100%. Yeah,
because that's what you want.
Yeah,
you want him to be your number two.
Yeah, he's excellent.
And then you go draft your number one.
Patriots need receivers, like whatever. However you look at this, even if they keep Jacoby Meyer, the Patriots have made just nonstop really bad decisions with their receivers.
Let's just ask me.
There you go.
Give me a call.
Yeah,
Bill.
Go on, Bill.
Give me a call.
Yeah. Well. If Bill, you just like drop us a message on Twitter, I'll give you James's number. Just
totally. Don't waste a first round pick on a guy that just basically has contested catch.
Yeah,
because that's not a stable metric.
However, $32 million in cap space means they can address some of these issues, which is nice. Yeah, and in terms of free agents, they have who they got hit in the curve. Nelson Aguilar, fine. Devin McCourty, I think I feel bad about it, but I think at this point that maybe, I don't know. I think if you can keep him on the roster, you do keep him on the roster, but I think he'd take it at a cut price anyway. Same with Matt Slater. Oh, he's signed apparently. Sorry, my bad. Then you've got players like Isaiah Wynn. You probably want to keep on the roster anyway. But you do need to look at that side of the offensive line. I thought Trent Brown, Cole Strange, don't have a problem with the right side. Probably needs a little bit of work, though. Running backs, you're fine. Ramondre Stevenson, kind of leading the way. Receiver's the biggest concern for me on the offense.
Yeah, it's not an explosive offense by any sort of imagination, and it needs to find something to kickstart it.
Mm.
They need an explosive playmaker.
Yeah,
because you know, if they were to retain all the receivers they have, they've got lots of guys who can be the glue for your offense, but there's no one that frightens anyone.
No,
at all. No one. Not even the $37.5 million worth of tight ends.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, they've been bang average.
Yeah.
At best.
And I'm not, yeah, and I'm not certain where that explosive player really is going to come from for them, because if you look in kind of free agency, there ain't a lot of explosive guys available.
I think you're trading for someone. Those guys are very, yeah.
Yeah, you are looking at trading for someone. There are guys who you could potentially sort of go get. Obviously we know who isn't going to go there, DeAndre. Because he and Bill Bryan, I think the feeling is mutual between them both, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's a case of trading for somebody, and they're probably going to have to sell out big for that. They're probably going to have to spend another $37.5 million or two more tight ends if they can't, though. But yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep labouring that point.
Patriots have 8 draft picks, 3 in the first 3 rounds, and then a couple in the fourth.
But pick 14 as well.
Yeah.
My worry, though, with the Patriots, and I will foreshadow this now, is that where they're picking, there is a player that will potentially fall to them that they don't need, but that will be so desirable to Bill that he'll just draft them.
Go on, you've teased us. Who do you reckon it is?
Brian Branch from Alabama.
Mm.
Who basically is probably the second best player to ever play that sort of overhang kind of safety role in the Nick Saban defense. I'd say second best, the best being Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. So we look at
Brian Branch is the kind of player that Bill will look at and go, two McCourt is in one body. Ooh.
So we look at the defense, and they do. If you don't bring Devin McCourty back, then there is probably a hole at safety next to Kyle Duggar. Kyle Duggar's been very good.
That would be a fantastic young safety pairing, but it's low priority.
Yeah.
Really, compared to what they need to do on offense, they need to be explosive.
Yeah.
They need to be able to generate points.
They have done such a good job as well in the second, third, fourth round, picking up players in the secondary as well. Marcus Jones, Jack Jones, Kyle Duggar. The players that just don't look like they're going to fit in, doing a good job. So I do wonder whether they try and keep Jojuwan Williams. Potentially. And then, pass rush, Matthew Judon's still good. Josh Uche, I thought, came on last season. I thought he played quite well. Christian
Judon
Barmore is
probably one of the best. Yeah, Barmore. Enough defensive group.
I agree. Yeah. I think the Patriots need to spend some time looking at their offense. I think they ignored it a bit last year. But yeah. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, yeah. No, they absolutely did ignore it somewhat. Mac Jones isn't Tom Brady. Mac Jones needs a supporting cast for him to be really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got the ability to be a good quarterback, just needs it around him. Like almost every quarterback does that isn't called Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And on defense, just maybe some backup players in the secondary as well. So, yeah. That should be the concern. Yep. They got $32 million. I think they've got to be looking at maybe prizing someone out of a team that maybe not isn't necessarily happy.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Next up, a team that have been currently left in the dark, the New York Jets. Jeez, on offense, I wonder what their big need is.
It's the one thing they can't fix.
Yeah. Well, it depends.
They can and they can't. Well, they can't. Well, you know, if all accounts and rumors are to be true, then it might be very, very much fixed.
Yeah.
Believe it when I see it.
You're not thinking that Rodgers is going to go there then?
Yes and no, but at the same time, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you struggle with the amount of scrutiny you get in Wisconsin, Are you going to be that keen to move to New York, where if you take a poo the wrong way, half the city has something to say about it?
You, as the Jets have some serious decisions to make in their team as well. Like,
yes.
Who on this roster is vital? I think you need to decide. So, for example, Carl Lawson, you can save $15 million if you cut him. CJ Mosley, you can save $6.5 million if you cut him. Corey Davis, I think goodbye, Corey Davis. You can save $10.5 million if you cut him.
Yeah.
There's some easy wins, but eventually, if you keep pruning that bush, then it's just going to be some sticks. So, like, it's. They still need to have enough of a team built round their quarterback. Now, Aaron Rodgers comes into this season relatively inexpensive. It's the future seasons that he becomes quite expensive. I could definitely see it. And then,
have you seen his statement since he emerged from his darkness retreat?
No, what's he said?
What was it? It's really, really, it's brilliant. Hold on, let me just very quickly. This is terrible, terrible podcast admin. So, Aaron Rodgers nonsense, and that's probably the quickest way to find it. Aaron Rodgers and the darkness. Statement. 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 Is it? I found the statement earlier, and it was absolute gold.
Okay.
Just like the wording, but apparently, I can sort of vaguely cover it off. But basically, he said at one point that in the darkness, he touched the edges of both extremes of emotion.
Oh my God!
And when he came out the other side, he came out with a clear understanding of what direction he should go in. And he will reveal that to us in time.
He's such a just an absolute drama queen, isn't he? But he just absolutely
shortly
loves
after
the drama.
Saying, "I'm not going to drag this out for people."
Yeah,
he just
I've made
out.
A decision, but I'll tell you when I feel like it. When I most likely
not
when
I
go
to
on
drag it out, yeah.
When I go on Pat McAfee's incel cast. So like, it's just oh my God, he's so irritating. I hate him so much. Yeah.
Have you seen that Pat Mac? But one thing that will redeem Pat McAfee in your eyes is he's going after Brett Favre, by the way.
Oh, is he? What's it? Why has happened?
McAfee made some claims about Favre. Favre has said, "See you in court," and McAfee has said, "I'm going to lawyer up and destroy you."
Good. Okay, McAfee, you're winning me over a bit. Because Brett Favre is one of the biggest tools in the NFL. So, yeah. Yeah. I can definitely see that.
Yeah. He's definitely a tool.
Yeah.
Definitely a tool. Oh, yep, wait, yep, hold yep. on a minute. I've got it. Here it is. Oh, no, that's terrible. No, ignore me. Anyway, let's move on. Sorry, yes. So, New York Jets. Sorry.
Yeah, they need to free up enough space to entice a quarterback into the team whilst also... managing to keep players around him. So if they can't get Aaron Rodgers, that becomes a serious issue because they're probably getting like a Derek Carr or a Jimmy Garoppolo. And so like if you've sold the team just to bring them in, then all of a sudden you're not putting them in a position to win.
Are you not sure that they wouldn't be fine with Derek Carr? Are you sure that him as second prize isn't actually kind of palatable?
I think it's pretty good, but I think if you want to win a Super Bowl, that's probably not the way to do it.
Probably not. Okay, fine. Who knows?
Yeah. I think he gives them a chance to win one, but then I think once you've freed up enough space to beat the other teams that are in the running for Derek Carr, then you've had to get rid of an awful lot of talent on this team.
Do you know what the biggest nightmare disaster for the Jets would be? Is that somehow they lose out on the quarterback carousel and the only free agent quarterback left is Geno Smith. and he's just there waiting. And you're like,
do it. Go on, do it.
But how crazy would that be? Yeah, no. I mean, you know, you'd have to have a lot of things happen for that to be an issue. I mean, technically, Daniel Jones is a free agent. But he's going to get tagged. Of course, he's going
to. You reckon? Well, we'll probably get to the Giants in
get
a bit.
To that later. But yeah. I think the Jets they need to tool up at quarterback. I feel quite good about where the Jets are in terms of most aspects of things. Everything's kind of trending upwards. I mean, it's just about continuing the work they've done with the offensive line and building some depth, particularly in terms of like replacing George Bant at tackle if they can. And I think just another piece at safety. And I definitely think sort of giving them another layer at receiver, like for example, letting Corey Davis go, but finding something that kind of is an equivalent, so like a solid number two, because you've got your playmaker in Garrett Wilson, you've got Elijah Moore, who is that wide receiver three, who has wide receiver two kind of skill to him.
Mm.
But you just need another guy there, and perhaps looking at a tight end as well.
Yeah, Tyler Conklin kind of dropped off a bit, and also CJ Uzoma wasn't the same guy last year.
But there are free agents that could still transform the team, even if they don't sort out quarterback. If they could land someone like Orlando Brown, that would be phenomenal for them.
Like, in terms of receiver as well, like if you're after a number two receiver, they're generally quite easy to find. They're not going to be too tough to find. You're going to be able to find something. If I was the Jets, immediately after I had Simon's not here, I don't care. If I were the Jets, I would obviously let Corey Davis go. I would be trying my damnedest to get Aaron Rodgers into this team, and then using Aaron Rodgers as the bargaining chip to say, hey, Odell Beckham, you want to win a Super Bowl? This is the team. Because I think you can get Odell Beckham relatively cheap.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of quarterback, I think the draft this year is a real opportunity for them to just tool up.
Yeah, I do as well. Depth. And they've drafted really well as well. So,
they have,
you know.
They have. And last year's draft couldn't have gone better for them. They've stumbled across two starting corners and a running back and a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't happen. And, you know, they've got a guard who can play swing tackle. I mean, how lucky are they?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So I'm just so pleased for them. This is exactly what Josh doesn't want to hear me say. But yeah, the future is bright.
Yeah, they just need to not cock up free agency this year.
Mm.
And they need to get the quarterback in. Basically, nothing. Yeah. If they can't get the right quarterback in, then nothing's going to change. There we go. We are currently on pace to do four of these podcasts because I reckon we'll get through another division at this rate, and then we might have to call it a night. But I'm having too much fun, so I'm fine doing that over the next 4 weeks. That suits me fine.
Yep, I'm fine doing it over the next 4 weeks as well.
That's what we're doing then. Okay, then. So, next up, let's move to the NFC East, shall we?
Mm.
Dallas Cowboys. An interesting team where everyone is quite good. Very few players are excellent.
Yeah. And they're on a precipice. This could go either way.
Yeah. Also, congratulations for the mid-2010s called. They love your selection of coaches, Dallas Cowboys. Well done. John Faisal, Mike McCarthy, Brian Schottenheimer, and Dan Quinn.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, 2013 wants its coordinators back. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Absolutely.
Like you said, yeah. Spot on. So, throwing Dak under the bus at the end of last season was not a great move. That's not brilliant. And they need to address receiver, which has gone from being 12 months ago something that looked like being a potential massive strength for them to something that does actually now need to be fixed.
Yeah.
Michael Gallup is not the same player. He's come back from that injury. He's not the same. Pre-injury Michael Gallup was a very different cat. It remains to be seen whether, if he can, if he recovers fully, whether he will be back to being the player that he started to become.
Yeah.
But last year it did very much feel like the CeeDee Lamb show.
I think it was. CeeDee Lamb broke out, had a breakout season last year, pretty much. That and the 400 tight ends they were playing as well. I got the feeling that that was put in place because they didn't have any other answers.
I think it was that, and just the fact that they didn't have anybody outside of CD that really scared him.
Yeah.
There's no one that could take the top off the defense on that team. Michael Gallup was kind of a vertical threat, but he's a vertical threat in a different way. It's not with speed, it's with ability to win downfield in a contested situation.
Yeah.
With consistency, sort of similar to Mike Williams, only less hilariously spectacular.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's something that needs to be addressed. I think also it's about retooling the offensive line again.
Yeah.
And addressing the elephant sized left tackle elephant in the room.
So I think you need to completely rework the offensive line.
Again.
Tyron Smith's a fine player still. He still played excellently last year, but you could save 9.58 million, 9.59 million, sorry, if you get rid of him. And you put the person in that was meant to be his replacement in Tyler Smith in at left tackle. Then you start working on the center of the offensive line, which you can work through free agency or through the draft. Either way, I think you can do that. You can save yourself 4.8 million if you get rid of Ezekiel Elliott as well. Just pointing that one out. There's so many players on this that you could probably just get rid of. Jordan Lewis has been very good, but 4.7 million. Trayvon Diggs, you probably want to keep. Malik Hooker, 3.4 million. Neville Gallimore, 2.7 million. You could probably just shed a ton of players and get in players that are considerably cheaper that would do something similar. That would be my bet anyway. Doris Armstrong Jr., like 4.2 million. This all adds up. Then readdress someone like DeMarcus Lawrence's contract, kick the can down the road just a little bit longer. And try and rearrange someone like Michael Gallup's contract. They've made some really weird decisions, like in terms of contracts. But yeah. There are methods they can save a ton of money and then actually become something of a force in free agency and the draft this year.
Yeah, I mean, the most jarring thing is that RB2 has a cap number of 16.7 million.
And he is their RB2 as well now. Like, you need to try and get rid of him.
Very much so, yeah. Very much so. And in the year where you can walk into a draft and the running back class is about 13, 14 deep.
Yeah.
In terms of guys you could draft and potentially have take snaps for you next year.
Yeah.
It's not hard to walk away from.
Jerry,
who has some kind of crazy fixation with it.
They've got 6 draft picks, one in each round except for the 6th, basically.
Yeah, so. And they need to be sort of looking at what they do with those picks. But addressing being more explosive in the passing game, however they choose to do it, they might choose to do it with one of the more athletic tight ends.
Yeah.
Dalton Kincaid might be somebody who contrasts quite well with Dalton Schultz. They'd make an interesting pair.
Yeah.
But, or just a playmaking wide receiver that brings some juice, some speed, and a vertical element to that passing game. Because, you know, Dak Prescott's at his best when he has the opportunity to stretch the field.
Yeah.
If you force him to play in condensed, he's great at it, but you know, it limits the scope of your offense. You want to be able to create explosives because, you know, that's how you win games in the NFL more often than not, is by either by getting explosives or creating fear of explosives.
You can definitely win with Dak Prescott, but you need to play into his strengths.
Yeah. And, you know, he was streaky towards the end of last year, but he's fine. You can win games with him. You can win playoff games with him.
Yeah,
Super Bowl? Don't know. Playoff games yet. Anyway.
Can you win with
so
the
Dallas,
quarterback?
It's very much about being more explosive.
Absolutely. 100%.
Sorry, yeah. You were saying.
Can you win with the quarterback on the next team? The New York Giants, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, both free agents. If I'm the Giants, I'm looking at putting Saquon Barkley on the just on the tag, just because he's considerably cheaper than Daniel Jones. And then I'm looking at front-loading a contract, but giving him like a two-year contract. So looking at it, the Giants have $46 million in cap space. Why not do what the Eagles have done? Just like start building this team around whatever quarterback's going to be there in a couple of years rather than the quarterback that's going to be there now. And if it turns out that Daniel Jones is the guy, then you give him another contract. But I do wonder whether you don't... Yeah, go on.
There you go.
I do wonder whether you just front load a contract as much as possible and you just gradually like build up talent around that team. I just don't know what the alternative is quarterback wise. I suppose the alternative is you bring in a Jacoby Brissett or something like that and you let Daniel Jones walk.
Yeah. I don't think they would let him walk.
No.
The problem is that Danny doesn't want dimes.
No.
Danny wants dollars.
Yeah.
And apparently he's recently changed agents.
Yeah.
And apparently he's looking for something in the realm of $45 million per year because that's the market average.
Yep.
And you have to ask yourself, do you want to pay Daniel Jones $45 million a year, even for that first year? Do you want to be sort of seen to be the team that does that? Or do you want to just tag him?
You can tag him, but then you're still paying him $35 million only to trade him next year anyway. Or get rid of or lose him next year.
The problem is that his agents are going to be interested in negotiating the best long-term deal for Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Why negotiate a deal that mortgages you to more than 1 year?
Yeah.
When you can just tag him at the league average and then say bye. And guess what? If he refuses to play, then his tag year just rolls over. You're still on the franchise tag even if you refuse to play. You only get off the franchise tag once you complete a season.
Okay. Say, though, you get to next year and you're in the exact same situation. Which I think is possible.
Yeah. Then you feel a bit better about paying him. If you've got a year of him saying, hey, look, I did this on the tag. This is who I am. This is what I look like. You feel a bit better about saying, here's $45 million a year because we've seen incremental growth or consistency and stability of play from you. But for me, I wouldn't do it. I'd tag him, wait and see. Just, I don't know. I mean, anything could happen. Anything could happen. This is not the year to need a quarterback.
No, it's absolutely not.
While there's lots of quarterbacks becoming available, there's lots of teams that are going to be in a position to get them before the Giants.
I don't think there's any way
collateral.
The Giants can be in the running for a quarterback that's going to be better than Daniel Jones this year. That's my prediction.
Absolutely, they should play Daniel Jones this year. They should start as their starting quarterback.
Yeah, agreed.
But I'd just do it on the tag. I don't know, if I had to sign, because you only tag one, I'd sign Saquon because it would be cheaper.
But then if you put Saquon on the tag, it's going to be cheaper for him on the tag. The tag is next to nothing. And do you want to sign Saquon Barkley up to a long-term deal?
It would be cheaper than signing Daniel Jones to a long-term deal and much less likely to hamstring the franchise.
It would, but I don't see where their money's going this year. They have a ton of needs, don't get me wrong, but like they're probably not winning a Super Bowl this year in the same way they probably didn't expect to win one or be even in the running to win one last year. So I wonder if you don't just give him like a couple of years to actually like prove himself. Like if the first thing, if I'm Joe Sheehan, I'm annoyed at the previous regime for putting me in this situation. And one of the other problems with it is that Daniel Jones isn't the guy that both Sheehan and Daboll picked. So I get that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. My prediction is that he will probably end up getting tagged, but I do just wonder whether it's a case of like.
But this is the thing, right? I don't see that quarterback is something they need to fix this year. I don't think they do. I think it's fine. You based on last year, you go into the season with Daniel Jones. There are more pressing things for you to fix right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So whatever happens, I think Daniel Jones should be their quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a linear improvement in Evan Neal at right tackle.
Yeah.
Because with the best one in the world, the prospect was blue chip, but his performance last year was not good.
Mm.
He got better towards the end of the year, but he started very slowly like Andrew Thomas did.
Yeah.
I mean, if the end result was the same in 2 or 3 years with him becoming one of the premier tackles in the NFL, absolutely fine.
Kenny Golladay, who's set to have a cap number of $21 million, he's being released apparently. That shocks me.
Unsurprising.
Not at all, yeah.
So, yeah, they need to look at wide receiver on offense quite badly because I'm amazed they managed to look good over what they did.
Yeah.
They do need to look at depth at running back as well, because if it's the Saquon Barkley show, that's a dangerous precipice to dance on. The drop-off
between Barkley and Breeder is about as big a drop-off in the league as well.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And you need to be thinking about succession as well. And this is a decent year to do it. Again, running backs like 12, 13 deep.
Mm.
In the draft, so that's fine. Defensively,
cornerback potentially.
Yeah, and it's again a decent year to look at corner. It's a decent year for it. You can again. There's a couple of guys at the top end that are good, and then there's like seven or eight that are worth a shot. And you can see starting or playing meaningful snaps for a team next year.
Yeah.
Not a bad year to go and pick one.
Other than that, just depth on the defensive line as well.
Definitely. Mm. No, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, they have a similar problem on offense. They need to be more explosive.
Yeah. Yeah, like all of the players they've got are functional. Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence in the middle are particularly good, actually. But as you say, it's not like explosive. So, yeah. I mean, they clearly have needs, but I think if they're one of those teams that if you just put a handful of the right players in there, all of a sudden you're looking at the Giants and just going, huh, they should look quite good.
Yeah. Depth at edge wouldn't hurt with somebody else to complement Thibodeau again. Good year to get project edge rushers, guys to develop and give some depth down the road. And I mean, it's an okay year to build depth.
Yeah,
they can consolidate a lot of stuff through the draft, and in free agency there are opportunities to get some guys that can really help them.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, it is a tight end as well. By the way, they probably could do with a tight end.
It's a good year to get one. It's a good year to need one.
Yeah.
It's a very good year to need one.
They've got needs in all the right areas. It feels like so. It should be fine.
Yeah, to draft the depth, absolutely. If you're dropping where they're dropping in the first round, there's guys you can grab that are worthwhile or good value.
Next up then, Philadelphia Eagles. Suamalo, that's the big one for me on offense. They really, ideally, I think they need to try and keep him.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with their that, offensive absolutely. Line is about as coherent as any offensive line in the league right now. I don't think you want to mess with that too much. Other than that, I would just
it's just about building depth. I mean, they drafted Cam Jurgens last year as sort of the de facto heir apparent to Jason Kelce. It's about looking to continue that work, I think.
Someone to replace Lane Johnson wouldn't be the worst idea in the world.
Exactly. It's about succession, definitely.
Yeah. So that there isn't a massive drop off when Lane Johnson's injured.
Yep. And tooling up for the inevitable Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham retirement, which is too far away, I don't think.
No, but I think they've done a reasonably good job with that. So Linval Joseph's not young either, but he's played very, very well. And Dharmacan Sue's not young either. He's played very well. And Javon Hargraves, I think they probably need to keep on the roster. That being said, Sue, Joseph, and Hargrave are all free agents. So they probably need to look at keeping at least a couple of them on the roster. So.
No, absolutely.
Hassan Reddick probably needs to be signed up to a long-term deal.
I think he was possibly pound for pound up there with Micah Parsons for being the most explosive and dynamic edge player in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
And he was, in all the best possible ways, a turnover machine.
Yes. Definitely. Try and keep CJ Gardner-Johnson on the roster. I think that was the best season I've ever seen him have. James Bradbury's an interesting one because I think that he didn't play that great. But also, he probably demands quite a lot of money as well. So I wonder if you just let him walk and then try and find someone else.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Mm. Yeah, he threw Jonathan Gannon under the bus today.
Did he? What did he say?
So Jonathan Gannon was asked today at a Combine press conference about the contributing factors that led to the Eagles Super Bowl loss. And Chauncey Gardner-Johnson quote tweeted it and added his own little headline to it that was, "You didn't put your players in a position to make plays."
Yeah. Yeah, that's not ideal.
I don't know. Not great.
No, but also Jonathan Gannon's not there anymore. They've got Sean Desai. So I do wonder whether it's one of those actually, get the band back together.
He is a good player.
He's an idiot. There's no denying that. But this season in particular, he was outstanding, I thought. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was.
He was the final ingredient.
100%. Yeah, completely agree. So I think you want to try and keep some of this interior rotation on the roster. And then fill some gaps with eventual players that are there to replace other players, like in the positions you're getting quite old at. So like defensive tackle, like offensive line. I think focus on those areas, and I think you're probably in a good, decent situation. And then try and re-sign Gardner-Johnson, try and re-sign James Bradbury. And I think you probably then become competitors again next year. Like, I know we say this every year, but... Yeah, I think they definitely can.
I see their floor being very high.
Yeah, me too. But I think they need to. That their concern should be trying to re-sign Suamalo. That's the biggest concern I think they've got.
Absolutely, the rest continuity is just, on an offensive line is absolutely critical.
And then it's just looking at replacing potential older players. So yeah. I don't predict the same for the next team. Currently, Sam Howell is their quarterback, their starting quarterback, and I would imagine that is an area they're going to want to address.
I don't hate that concept.
Oh, really?
We are probably 24 months removed from a reality where Sam Howell was considered potentially being a top 5 pick in the NFL draft. So that's a reality we're only 2 years away from.
Yeah.
For a start. So the things that can be said about Sam Howell was his final year at UNC was his worst season.
Yeah.
He did lose Deami Brown, Daz Newsom, Javonte Williams, Michael Carter. Basically all his skill players except for Bo Corrales. And his play did understandably suffer, but what he did do was he did demonstrate that he could be a dynamic runner as well. Now, he's not perfect, And I think, but I do think going in the fifth round felt harsh. I thought he'd be a guy that would go day two. And I do remember thinking on draft day, this is harsh.
Yeah.
This is quite rough on Sam. But he did show enough in week 18 for me to think, you know, he should be allowed to be in the mix in a QB competition.
Yeah.
Where it's realistic. Because, you know, every QB is in a QB competition, but not all QB competitions are created equal. It's like, we know that Gardner Minshew's in a QB competition in training camp this year, but it's not a contest.
No.
Sam Howell deserves to be in one where it's a contest.
So,
you know, and where you are legitimately critically evaluating, does he deserve the job?
Every year there's a team that are doomed from the start, but they don't really seem to think they are. A couple of years ago, it was the Chicago Bears. Last year, it's Carolina Panthers. I kind of think it's the Commanders this year. Because there are players they could replace that make them infinitely better that are earning a ton of money. Let's just go down the list. Charles Leonard's a decent offensive lineman, but you could save $8 million if you get rid of him. Kendall Fuller, $8 million. You could save. Logan Thomas, $5.1 million. Probably want to keep Andrew Norwell. Cornelius Lucas, $3.4 million. These are all players that probably will be starting at some point. But you probably want to at least try and roll the dice to improve it. Problem you've got is Ron Rivera is not trying to shake the boat up too much because he is very much on the hot seat this year.
But they're going to have to shake the boat.
Got to. Like, if he's to stand any chance, yeah. If they're going to have stand, if they're going to stand any chance of doing anything this season, you need to look at players like Charles Leno, and Cornelius Lucas, and say, are they going to be good enough for us this season, or can we get better players for cheaper? And do we accept that for the first few games, it's going to take us a while to get into a rhythm? They're fine at wide receiver. De'Ami Brown, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin. Brilliant. Fine.
It's a group that's as strong as any.
Yeah. I'm not worried about their running backs either. Like, Brian Robson, Robinson came on leaps and bounds last year. Tony Gibson's fine. J.D. McKissick's fine. I think they need to improve the offensive line, but I think it needs an almost complete rework if they're going to improve it, because otherwise I think all you're doing is keeping it fairly average. And I do think they need to look at quarterback. I don't think Sam Howell is going to be the answer, I'm afraid. But yeah. On defense, Daron Payne has signed the franchise tag already, hasn't he? So that means they get to keep Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen, Chase Young, and Daron Payne, who I think have been a little bit disappointing so far, although Chase Young's barely played in that group.
Certainly last year they were.
Yeah. And then in the secondary, Kendall Fuller's very expensive. Cameron Curl's okay. I think they need work in the secondary.
It does need bringing up to snuff. It does. And they need to do it pretty quick.
Absolutely.
The big trick for them is being able to do all this without undoing the work they have done, because they've got a horrible habit of doing that in Washington. But the strategy employed by the team getting the enemy in tells me that their priority is going to be offense.
Yeah.
And not defense. So I can't help but wonder if it is going to be looking at retooling the offensive line and maybe taking a punt on someone at quarterback. If you don't buy into the reality of Sam Howell being a viable quarterback for them, then maybe the reality is that they do go looking for a free agent quarterback. But personally for me, I think the enemy and that group of skill position players is an environment where I could see Sam Howell thriving. Or at least having the best chance to do so.
And if worst comes to worst, you do still have Taylor Heinicke on the roster.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's a free agent. But I think you probably can bring him back.
I think you bring Heinicke back for what he can give you as a backup.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if Sam Howell goes south, then you know what you're going to have for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
At least.
I think you try and bring in other quarterbacks, but you're not desperate to bring in another quarterback, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't think you're like the Panthers, for example. Like, I think you're quite happy to try and run with Sam Howell and see what happens, and see what happens, where the cards land in terms of, like, I don't know, Jacoby Brissett and like Teddy Bridgewater and players like that.
But the reward, if Sam Howell did work out,
yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, fifth round pick,
and he's going to be cheap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that's the perfect end game for them. But there you go. I think the future for them is very much. But they do really need to retool that secondary. They need to find their mojo with that defensive front as well. That defense was incredibly underwhelming last year.
I just think
it just shouldn't.
How, after racist comments as well, has Jack Del Rio still got a job there?
He's not the guy.
No, he's absolutely not. He should not be in the building at all. But because it's, I think a lot of it's because the Commanders have bigger issues.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely it is. And I think I get the sense that they are definitely fighting the inexorable sort of downward undertow of having a Snyder at the helm.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is perfectly willing to sue everybody in the league as well, and willing to be a distraction for his team in doing so. And I just think he's a deplorable human being.
But, he absolutely is. He's disgusting.
He shouldn't have a team.
And I think if the NFL have any say in that, he won't have one before long. So, yeah.
I think the other 31 owners will also have something to say about him continuing on that role. But, yeah.
But he's also probably got some dirt on them as well. So, you know.
Oh, God, yeah, no, absolutely. He'd have been gone by now.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got pictures of people, obviously.
Yeah. We'll read out what other people's needs are for their teams, even though they're not related to the ones we've spoken about. Mike F, who you'd have heard on our fantastic draft pod last year, and I think we're probably going to try and get him back to do the same thing this year. Steelers, cornerback, sorry, defensive line and linebacker. So just defense, basically. But
Steelers are projected to, in a few mock drafts, to draft Joey Porter Jr. at corner.
Interesting. I could see that.
A legacy pick.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a bit too sort of schmaltzy.
Yeah.
But there you go.
But I think the Steelers' offense was okay. I think the line probably needs a little bit of help. But other than that, I think they're pretty much set. So, Bidadal says, Bucks, biggest weaknesses, quarterback, cornerback, offensive line, edge, and possibly linebacker if they lose David. To fix it, eat as much cap pain as possible this year rather than kicking the can down the road. Cornerback is typically a position that rookies struggle with, so don't expect too much from them and set yourselves up for a good 2024. Trying to find cheap depth in second and third waves of free agency.
I'm going to ruin a future episode and say he's nailed it.
He's nailed it? I don't think that's what they're going to do, though.
No, it's not. It's
really because not. I'm also well aware that Todd Bowles wants to keep his job. So blowing up the team when after you've had a terrible season probably isn't the best way to do it.
And very briefly, Jason Light was on the PFF pod this week, and they did an interview with him.
Yeah.
And they asked him about how he feels about the quarterback room. And I mean, you know, everyone says it, but he said, yeah, we feel good about Kyle and we feel good about Blaine. We think it's a quarterback competition that's going to be one to keep tabs on.
Oh, and watch, man.
More excited about it.
He said the magic words, quarterback competition between Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask.
I mean, no offense, right? But yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it either. I would wholeheartedly agree with what their approach should be. That's bang on.
I don't think they're going to do that. Yeah. Alan says, Patriots, linebacker, wide receiver, offensive line, all these positions, we have guys that are decent, but no blue chip talent. Maybe harsh on the offensive line. We have talent there, but didn't play well enough last year. I kind of agree. That's pretty much what we said, though. Although everyone's mentioned linebacker, and we barely spoke about linebackers. As far as I'm concerned, linebackers, unless you're after Fred Warner or Roquan Smith, you can pick up a decent linebacker. I'm not overly worried about the linebacker for a lot of these teams. So. But there we go. And I think that's the last one. Ger Gavin, who is a Niners fan. Injuries. That's what they did. They needed to improve that this year. And Roger Grace, Panthers fan, says quarterback. And then he's also put a picture of Dave Byrne saying same as it ever was up as well, which has cracked me up somewhat. So, yeah.
Just on the subject of the Panthers in the draft, we are all talking about the Texans and the Colts. I would keep one eye on the Panthers and the Seahawks here and the Raiders.
Hey, Panthers.
You never know.
Slippers
are... What, are you telling me that the Panthers aren't looking at Anthony Richardson and going, he reminds me of somebody?
I think a lot of teams are wondering where Will Levis is going to drop as well.
Yeah, and this week has been the week where, you know, a lot of media outlets have been talking themselves into Anthony Richardson going very high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of thing. So I can't help but wonder if somewhere like Carolina or the Raiders or the Seahawks just is like, you know what? Let's go for it now. And to my mind, the team that you should be most mindful of doing that actually is Seattle.
Yeah.
Because Seattle have two picks.
Yeah.
It's conceivable that they could turn those two picks into a higher pick if they wanted to go and get somebody for, you know, just in case Geno isn't the guy.
Hey, Carolina, if you want to slip as Brian Burns and you're at number 8 pick or number 9 pick, I can't remember where they're at, then you can move up if you like.
If it's Burns and pick 9,
yeah,
I'm laughing. I'm just laughing. But I did do a mock draft the other day, a fantasy one on the PFF mock draft simulator, where I traded on the basis that the Bears traded Justin Fields to the Texans.
Oh my God.
For pick 12.
Yeah.
And pick 33.
Okay. So that means the Bears end up with Bryce Young.
At number 1 overall, they draft Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And then pick 12, they get best corner on the board, Christian Gonzalez. And then at pick 33, you get one of the top 3 tight ends.
See, the alternative is you keep Justin Fields and you trade down, you end up with Will Anderson still.
Yes. There is the Mel Kiper trade down end game as well, which... He does in his mock draft where Bears trade down with the Texans and get pick 12 and pick 2 and then they trade again with the Colts
this
pick 4 and a second rounder.
We've got this is going to be put up as a clean podcast, James. We can't possibly broadcast this. It's too sexy. Yeah.
And then the math would work out that the Bears would have like something like 7 picks in the top 70.
Yeah, over the next 2 years.
In a draft that's full of depth players.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the dream. Yeah. I'll quite happily trade down to 2, then trade down to 4, and then trade down to 8 or 9 again if need be. Just build up the draft picks. But it never works out that way. So we'll see what happens. Sometimes
I don't know. I would try the most incredible sexy Bears candidate, which is this, which would be that I would trade Justin Fields
to
the Texans for pick 2 as well.
Yeah.
Then I would pick Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And offer to trade him to the highest bidder out of the Colts the Panthers and the Seahawks, hoping it's the Seahawks so that I could turn Bryce Young at pick 2 to picks 5 and 20. So then I've got picks 5, 12, and 20.
But you could keep
And I
Justin
can still pick
Fields.
up.
You can still keep Justin Fields and then trade down to 2 and then trade down to 4, picking up like the number 12 pick and then the number 1 pick for the Colts next year. And then at number 4, convince the Carolina Panthers that like one of the quarterbacks is going to go off the board, because we're not quite into crazy season yet, but we are due crazy season very soon where all the
I
quarterbacks
think we
starting to
just
drop.
started it.
Yeah.
I think
Start
we just
moving,
started it.
shooting up the draft board. So, yeah.
No,
Interesting to see what happens.
quarterback crazy season has begun. It,
Yeah.
it's in full effect.
Yeah.
It started. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's all my observations I have right now.
Right, so we'll come back and we'll try and do four divisions next time. But and maybe, just maybe, I'll see if anyone's free tomorrow evening. We might bang out a couple more as well, so we might do them in quick succession, so we're not still doing it just before the season starts. But yeah, so we've done the East. We might do the West next time. So yeah, if you want to contact us and you got any thoughts on the podcast ideas, I'd love to hear them. Hit us up on Twitter. It's just at Gridiron Gents, or come join the Discord. It's or the pinned tweet on our Twitter, or you can email us hellochaps@gridirongentlemen.com as well. James, thank you very much. Great to be back, right?
It's great to be back. Happy 10th season.
Happy 10th season. It's
Yeah.
terrifying, but yeah. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the Scout and Combine if you're watching it. If not, then you know, see who ran what. It's always entertaining. It's a misconception that the fastest guy is the most entertaining guy. The fastest guy is the 300-pound guy that runs a ridiculous 40. That
Yeah,
sorry, the
that's
most
the fastest.
entertaining guy is the fast is the guy. Yeah, that's the guy to keep an eye out for. They're the most entertaining. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.